Fair's countdown. 4, 3, 2, 1.
DuckTales. Every day they're out there making DuckTales. Tales of daring, do that and DuckTales.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Heroes in a half shell. Turtle power.
In order to know who a furry is, you need to know who a furry was. We were the fat kid that never got chosen at recess. We were the skinny kid that got picked on after school. We were that brainy kid that everybody wanted to cheat off on their tests but never got invited to parties. We were that awkward kid that stood on the wall at dances hoping someone would ask them to join in. Human beings are social creatures, and we craved social interaction. We tended to find our social acceptance in the happy, smiling, and accepting faces of cartoon characters that we found on Saturday morning or after school on television. That's who we were. Who are we now? We're simply people who never forgot our childhood friends.
And you are, you can tell me either your name or your fur name.
My real name is John, and that's a really boring real name. So a lot of my friends call me KP. It initially stood for the character of Cuddle Pup with a K. And, you know, when people want to talk to you and they say, hey, Cuddle, it sounds a little awkward. So it kind of just got abbreviated to KP, and it stuck, and I've had it for, you know, the better part of 15 years.
Could you tell me a little bit about where you come from?
I grew up in Houston, Texas. And so I was exposed to a lot of different kinds of art.
Like, what did your mother do?
So my parents were actually divorced. I don't know my father very well. I do keep in touch with him through email, but I really don't know him that well. But my mother, she was an administrative assistant. She always made sure that I knew that she loved me. And I had a good, close family.
Do you have siblings?
I do not. I spent a lot of time by myself. And in doing so, I would watch television and I would watch cartoon characters. And I really gravitate towards animal superheroes. I like Underdog. He is absolutely my favorite character from the 1960s. Hong Kong Phooey.
Number one super guy. Quicker than the human eye.
Yeah. Yep.
Wait, I think I can do the whole thing. He's got style, human smile. And
a car that just won't stop.
That's right.
And when the going gets rough, he's super tough with a
Hong Kong
Phooey chop.
Got it.
You got it.
Yep, I remember him.
Also love Dynamutt, Danger Mouse, Mighty Mouse. I like that. That's kind of just where a lot of my interest started. When you come to the furry fandom and you come to a place like Midwest, we're all just regular people. A lot of us have regular jobs that we go to. Some of us work in banks. Some of us work in retail. Some of us are military.
And what are you? Is this your full-time job?
I am never paid for these kinds of
things. Unbelievable. What a commitment. Because this is fucking a lot of work, man.
There's a lot of work. A lot of work. But you know what? I would say the furry fandom has given me so much, and conventions all over the country and the world. I feel like I owe the furry fandom a little something. I have to give back to it because it has altered the course of my life. It has changed who I am as a person, and it has changed the way I see and do things. And I feel like if I can help even one other person feel that same sense of wonder and that same sense of I can make my life better, I can do something new. If even one person does that, then I've given back and helped keep that growth going.
Where do you think you'd be without it?
I'd be a much quieter person. I'm a fursuiter, and fursuiting has made me much more outgoing. It's helped me be more of a take-charge guy. I have a sense of gratitude. I have a sense of, I would almost call it love, for the community and the people that have brought me to the place in my life where I can look at my life and say, I have no regrets. I can go to almost any state and every major city in the country, and if I was stranded at an airport, I know someone who would come and pick me up and let me sleep on their sofa until my next flight. I know so many thousands of people and have so many friends. And like I said, Midwest is a great place to see so many of them. Because as I'm walking down the hall, people are calling my nickname out.
I know.
They're just saying, hey, KP.
You're very popular here. Can you talk to me about the moment that you discovered this world?
I was working for a large multinational computer company in the 1990s, and a friend of mine had told me about groups of people that like to be mascot characters. And I love the idea of being a mascot. I wanted to go to the Six Flags theme park, and I actually did audition at the Six Flags theme park.
Did you not succeed?
And I did not succeed there. And so I remember trying very hard to figure out a way to be a character performer. And some people told me, hey, there's this group of people that like to do that kind of thing. And I was like, who do they work for? Nobody. They're freelance. They do it themselves. And I was like, that's a novel idea. Never thought of that. So I joined this internet relay chat group. And the channel was called Fursuit. And so in 1999, a group of people said, hey, we're going to this convention in Philadelphia. And I remember two people in particular. Their names were Yappy Fox and Bearclaw. They were friends that I had met in Orlando. They just waved to me. And I was like, hi. And we introduced and started talking to one another. And we ended up doing a little puppet show together. And I think that was really the moment, you know, when I was like, I that was my first convention. And then things just started rolling from there.
How many people do you think were there?
There were about 600 to 700 people probably. And, you know, as things have progressed, conventions have grown to, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8,000 people in some places, and even more possibly this weekend. It's wistful in a way because things do change. But it's also wonderful because your eyes are just always constantly open to the new possibilities and to new friends.
That's so brilliant. You're so good at this. For someone who I would imagine thinks of themselves as a bit of an introvert, you're quite good at this. It's taught you really a lot about how to speak.
Well, I did an internet puppet show for 16 years.
What?
And it was all ad-lib. It was never scripted.
You did an improv puppet show for 16 years?
I did.
What is that called?
It used to be called, it just ended a few weeks ago. After 16 to 17 seasons.
You're like Mr. Rogers over here. Okay, what's it called?
Well, it was called the Fun Day Paw Pet Show.
Okay.
And it was done on Sunday nights live from Kissimmee, Florida. And we would have these puppets, and we did these crazy characters. I had a sheepdog named Ezra, who was my own voice. I had this crazy little ferret who was a kind of a savant. He wore a little beanie with a propeller on the top of his head. And his name was Todd. And you know what? I'm a wonderful person. I love to collect a lot of things. I collect antique crayons, and I love to make yarn balls because they're funny when they roll. And then there was a donkey named Spoiler, and he was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to spoil every movie before you get a chance to see it. And, you know, there were others.
I'm sure.
But those were my primary characters.
Okay.
And in the same way that my fursuits are developed off of specific personality traits, the puppets were kind of based on, I would find a little funny voice that I liked, and I would just build it from there.
You had told me yesterday that you have 4 fursuits.
I do.
I'd be interested in knowing about each of the characters and then how, sort of what that's done to your personality overall as you've like massaged and come to terms with each of these aspects of yourself.
So I do have 4 main characters right now. KP is my primary, and he's what I would call my original character. He is my inner child. He's the boy next door. He is the all-American kid. He's happy. He's bright-eyed. He's innocent. He sees the world through a child's eyes. He doesn't think about whether the glass is half empty or half full. He thinks about why the glass didn't have lemonade in with it to start. So that's this particular character. There's a second character. He is a quagga. The quagga, which is an extinct animal, is something of a parental figure. The parental figure takes care of people. That's where my caring attitude is kind of accentuated.
A quagga is what?
A quagga is an extinct form of the plains zebra.
Ah.
So it's an animal that went extinct in 1884.
Okay.
It looks like a zebra, but it doesn't have any stripes on the back half of it. It's also one of the only animals that humans are bringing back.
And why do you think the quagga is related to your adult figure?
So with this particular character, when he poses to me, he looks a little bit more regal. And he's a little taller. He has a mane with hair that I have to actually primp to look like a little bit of a mohawk because it's got stripes in the mohawk. And when he stands there, people notice him. And when I got him, that was really kind of what I got from him. And that's how that character's personality developed. The third character is a blue fox.
Ooh.
He is actually not an Arctic fox. He is a frost fox. He's a mythical fox. And he is my paranoia. he is always afraid that someone's out to get him because blue foxes are excruciatingly rare. There are very few of them around. He has to hide. He's afraid everybody wants to take his fur. And he's the one who, he stands in the corner and he fidgets with his feet and he puts his hands behind his back and he doesn't know what to do. And then if he sees too many people, he wants to just run away.
Why would you want to remake a part of your personality that you worked so hard to overcome with furries in another furry?
Well, with that character, it just seemed natural.
Okay.
And that's the thing is, you know, it was just natural with the way that this costume fit and the way that it was built and the way that it looks. You know, once he gets to know you, he'll talk to you.
Okay. Whatnot.
And it has a very loose muzzle. It has a very weighted nose that bounced. And so once he gets to know you, when he starts talking to you, he goes, yeah. And he bounces his nose to look like he's just going, yeah. And when people started seeing him, they really liked it. And so I developed it from there.
Okay.
But the fourth character is my tiger, and he is my arrogance. So he's the part of my personality that gets me in trouble. He's very headstrong. He doesn't think before, he doesn't look before he leaps. He doesn't think about consequences. He just goes for it. So, you know, there is a level of arrogance, but it's always tempered. With this character, it's exaggerated. And that's the thing, is when I build these characters in my mind and I start having the costumes done, every one of the personality traits is exaggerated. It's trying to say, well, how can I take this piece of me and create something new that everybody else can see that they don't necessarily say is me, but I can perform and I can create something new. And that is the best part about not just Midwest, but the furry fandom, is we are not consumer conventions. We are a producer convention.
Right.
We create our own unique characters, and that's why we can't say there's a set definition, because everybody is bringing their experiences and then they create something that reflects what they feel or what they love.
How much of this life is public? Like your mother?
My mom knows about it, but she doesn't really understand it.
Okay. I assume you've tried.
I've tried to a limited degree.
Okay.
I'm going to be probably trying a little bit more, because as she's aging, I do want her to be able to go to a convention with me sometime. I would like for her to enjoy it and see that, you know what, there's a reason why sometimes I act a little silly, why I feel like a big kid. Because I like to surround myself with people who also like to act silly and be, you know, for a little while, big kids. Anything that can bring you joy and happiness without making other people unhappy is worthy of great respect.
Mm.
If people are wanting to do something like wear a costume or be a puppet, you know, do a little puppet show or draw funny, you know, anthropomorphic animal characters, walking, talking animals. They want to do that. Or they want to sell t-shirts that have animal characters on them or anything like that. So long as they're not hurting anybody and it's making them happy, why judge? You know, if you walk around the halls here at Midwest Fur Fest and you see all of these people and you see how they're interacting, and some people are, you know, making the little animal noises and being cute. They're bark and yip and meow and whatnot. And then you see other people that are just standing there with, you know, a suit, like a business suit with a necktie, and it just has an animal, you know, and they're sitting there and they're saying, you know, I think I need to buy another share of Apple.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen that happen.
So I just want to thank you so very much.
Absolutely.
You're so pro. And I've had the very best time here. And just give me a couple websites people can go to who are looking to figure, you know, to get involved.
If you're in the Chicagoland area and you want to learn more about Midwest Fur Fest, you can always go to furfest.org. That's furfest.org. Okay. If you're wanting to find other like furry conventions around the globe, you can actually just type furry convention and your city, and you'll see if there's one that's close by. Whoa. Because they're all over the place.
Thank you so much for your time.
You are so welcome. Thanks for coming, Lauren.
Love it here.
Well, my name is Chairo. That's my fan name. Chairo is Japanese for brown. I'm a brown raccoon. My real name is Corey Strom. I'm the media relations representative for Midwest Fur Fest, which is happening right now here in Chicago, Illinois.
So you have done this 21 years.
Yep, 21 years. I'm actually from California. 1999, we started a convention out there that's still going. It's called Further Confusion.
You're like the OG furries.
Yeah, one of them. There's quite a few of them out here.
You must feel ancient. These kids are like 14. They're like going through puberty.
they call us gray muzzles. After you're 30 years old, that's what they give us. I'm like, 30 years old? You got to be kidding me.
So you're like great grand muzzle now. Do we have like a beginning, like an origin story for the very first guy? Like,
The sort of the fandom or community aspect of it came out of the science fiction community. But anthropomorphism itself has been around since, thousands of years.
Yeah, forever. It's just hard to imagine how it got so big. And the internet must have helped a huge amount.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm probably one of the rare few people who actually found the community through people.
Like SOS or like a telegrams where you're sending like smoke signals to your other raccoons?
Yeah, exactly.
How did you find your friends in the 90s?
Actually, it was a friend of a friend, and they came over for Thanksgiving dinner. And I used to live out in a ranch just way out in the middle of the boonies. And I'm like, I'd like to meet some new people. And he's like, you should come with me. And they brought me to this coffee shop in Santa Clara. And there was all these interesting people all dressed in various furry things, or they had like plushies or stuff like that. And I'm like, what is this? And then he explained it to me. I'm like, well, that's quite interesting. It took me a little while to acclimate to the concept. Once the social media started picking up, it just exploded. I mean, I think this convention, MFF, started in 2000 and with, I think, 600 and some odd attendees. And who were...
You're 9,000 this year, right?
We're somewhere in that vicinity, yep.
Right.
And it's pretty insane, but it's a wonderful thing to see. My family had passed away way before I was furry, and I was living on my own for several years, and it was a pretty big struggle. I didn't know how to deal with folks. I was pretty much introverted. It pretty much saved me. I didn't make a whole lot of money. I didn't know a lot of people. I wasn't too sure how to deal with life because they passed away like before I was an adult.
This is like all of your family?
I was adopted, so my adoptive mother and father. My mother died when I was 10, and my father died basically on my high school graduation night. There's a lot of soul searching, and but it was more, a fight or flight. Deal with life or don't. And I was one of those people that just, I'm going to press on and make it happen.
But how did you get to be a raccoon?
When I went to meet these folks, there were a few people who were into the costuming thing, and I thought that was the coolest thing ever. When I was a little kid, I'd watch TV shows with these costumes. I'm like, ooh, that's neat. I kind of want to do that. Those guys look cool and like they're having fun. And so I was introduced to a few of these folks who made costumes, and I'm like, well, I don't even know what to do. They're like, Just grab a knife and start carving on the foam, and you can make something. You can do it. So I went out and I bought this North American Field Guide to Mammals, and I went and just flipped through it and I stuffed my finger in it, and it landed on raccoon. I'm like, okay, that's what it's gonna be.
Trash panda.
Yep, it was just
forever.
Stupidly random, and it was a perfect fit. I learned how to be creative, and I learned that I had an art side. And then I found my mother, my biologic mother. I found her the same month that I found the
was
community.
Was she also a trash panda?
No,
come on.
She made costumes, animal costumes, before I even met her.
Get out.
Yeah, no.
It's genetic?
Yeah.
It's not nurture, it's nature?
It's nature.
Get out of here.
It's gotta be.
That's so weird.
She's been to 3 conventions with me. She's worn my costumes.
That's insane.
She's encouraged it all. Yeah.
Was she so pleased when she found out that her genetics were so strong that it like surpassed your adoptive parents?
When I met her, I'm like, you're artsy. I'm artsy. This is great. I found out where everything came from, all of my urges and desires.
Do you think that most of the people here had like a really tough go of it?
Well, I don't think it's predominantly that way, but there is definitely some aspect to that. There's a lot of that going on.
But when does like the sex does the sex come out soon? Because like I'm trying to like
that's more of an old wives' tale. I mean, you go around here. Do you see anything happening?
I do not see anything happening. No,
nothing.
I see a lot of people hugging.
Yeah,
lots of hugging.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
I see a lot of adorable people being really cute.
Yes, I had the ability to hang out with some really really incredibly wonderful performers when I first started. Costuming myself in the community. A lot of the stuff that I was able to do was professional work outside of the furry fandom. I got to be a customer at zoos, and the folks that I had met, they started a little company, a little performance company. It was called Critters by the Bay. They basically worked with a lot of nonprofit agencies, and they were invited to come out and be performers and entertain the crowds.
That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are great performers.
A lot of these folks, really, that's what they do, that they really get into their characters.
What kind of animals do you go for? And does that line up to the person, or how does that work?
I'm not really attracted to a specific species. I'm more of a traditionalist.
That's nice.
I think a lot of the folks, some of the younger folks, may be more speciists, if you will.
Speciists. That's amazing. Okay.
But to me, it's about the person, really. And so I look beyond that. I look at the person, find out. Is this somebody I want?
Do the animals have a certain kind of stereotype within the sexual world of this?
Well, there is an adult aspect to the community and the art. There are a lot of stereotypes, I guess. Not just sexual, but there's a lot of general stereotypes, like raccoons and shiny objects. It is really, really open book. I mean, you'll get some, obviously.
Is that, so they go along with like the commonplace myths of the animals?
Yeah, a lot of them do. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it gives them something to jump off of when they're acting and performing.
Do you ever go through trash while you're at these things, as for fun?
For photos. One time we went to Golden Gate Park, and we took some photos in dumpsters.
Have you ever had rabies?
No comment.
Well, I just think I've learned a lot. But I guess the point is that this is a place for love and acceptance, for people to feel good.
Absolutely.
And just spread joy.
That's exactly what it is, and creativity.
We could all use a little bit more of that in our lives.
Absolutely.
It's just like Burning Man. It's almost exactly the same. There's like smelly people who are forgetting to sleep and eat, and like won't stop dancing and feel connected for the first time ever to a community that like represents them.
There's people who come here and meet people and get married and have kids and everything. It's just insane.
I love that.
Yeah.
Little furry families.
It is. It is. It is. I mean, people call it a fandom, but a fandom is usually something that revolves around a pre-existing thing, like a media thing.
Right.
This is more of a community. This is really, really a community. It's not based on anything media. We create our own content.
You are just so lovely, and I cannot thank you enough.
Oh, no problem. You want to walk over with me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I would. I'm sorry. Hi.
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 I'm Kat.
Hi, Kat?
Dr. Kat, yeah.
Dr. Kat?
Yeah.
Great. Nice to meet you. I'd like you to explain to me, you walked in, what did you see?
Oh, my God. I came into the lobby of my hotel, and here's all these people. I'm thinking, are they having a wedding reception? They're dressed fancy and stuff. Apparently, it's an HVAC convention.
That's right.
In the Midwest.
Heating and cooling, mass production.
Right.
It's like some of the worst styles from the 90s.
So I walk in here, and here you are looking fabulous. And you know, cozying up to these ladies. You're going between them and getting them to try on this giant blue Care Bear head.
That's right.
And some of them are freaking out, but then others are kind of saying, oh, put the head on me, put the head on me. Their friends are taking pictures.
And that's the beauty of furry dumb.
Yes.
You bring one element of fun and whimsy, and it takes a normal, boring Midwest snooze fest and turns it into a fucking party.
Oh, yeah, breaks down barriers.
Tell me about your game.
Okay, so Furcadia was made in the mid-90s by me and my partner, Talzamir. She's an artist. I do programming. We both did the game design together. It was the first big furry game, one of the first MMORPGs on the internet. In its 21st year, it's in the Guinness Book of World Records. And the world is made by the players. They put in their own areas. They can use our art or upload their own art and music and writing. They can put in games and activities and puzzles or just make places to hang out and chat. Yeah, no,
this
it's awesome.
Fun.
You need to try it.
Okay.
It is totally free. We were the first freemium game. And we didn't have pay to win or any of that crap.
Yeah.
We have costumes you can get. It's totally optional.
Okay.
You can play free forever and never buy anything. You can still go everywhere and do everything. But if you want to dress up as a dragon, you can pay a few bucks and help support the game. That's your option.
I would love to support your game.
We have a bunch of different species built in. But if you don't see what you want, people have made Pokemon. People have made, you know, all kinds of Harry Potter characters, anime characters, vampires, Star Trek. Whatever you want to make, F as in furry, URCADIA.com. Totally
and you're
free.
The Guinness Book record holder of the what?
Longest continuously running, massively multiplayer online role-playing game.
Amazing.
Yeah, and we'll never
lose
20, that record.
20 years?
Yeah, we're turning 21 in 2 weeks.
You can go drink.
That's right.
How
Our
exciting.
Game can get drunk and get in trouble.
Shit.
Yes. I'm going to be a troubled parent when it starts asking to borrow the car.
And how long have you been in the furdom?
Well, I got in the fandom probably in the early 90s. I was on Furry Muck and stuff. I actually discovered Samurai Cat when I was a teenager was my first thing. And then I started using the online handles Samurai Cat and Dr. Cat in 1980. I've been making games my whole career. I've
Amazing.
Made 50 different published games. For Katie is my best. It's our labor of love. It's our child. We have the best online community, I think, of any online game. Wonderful people, lots of artists. And we do everything we can to encourage and support them. You know, we're just making the tools for them to make each other happy. Here at the con, I run into lots of people. They say, oh, I found Furry Fandom through Furcadia. I found my boyfriend or girlfriend through Furcadia. I made the game. I found my sweetie on Furcadia, and she runs the game now.
Well, you, Dr. Kat, I'd like to say thank you for being my very last interview and closing out this experience for me. I've had the very best time. I have met the very nicest people. I have danced the hardest to dubstep.
Oh, my.
Which I hate.
I was in the dance. That was the highest energy dance I ever experienced in my life. Good night from FurCon 2017.
Well, if you want to sing out, sing out. And if you want to be free, be free. Cause there's a million things to be, you know that there are. And if you want to live high, live high. And if you want to live low, live low. Cause there's a million ways to go, you know that there are.
Well, that about wraps it up for FurCon. I want to give a huge thanks to everyone at Midwest Fur Fest, especially Corey and KP. I've got a bunch of new episodes coming up. I am going to be going into Slab City. It is the last free place to live in America. I'm a little nervous, but I think I'll be able to bring you some really amazing stories from there. And I'll be driving to Costa Rica soon to give you some stories of some mythical medicine plants that are over there. So stay tuned. And of course, it is February, and it is that love-drenched, disastrous little time where Cupid's arrows are flinging all over the place. Don't forget, if you are alone, it's not the end of the world. All the love you really need is inside of yourself. If you're pretty down about it, I've written an article just for you on thecools.com about how to have single fun on Valentine's Day. It's got all kinds of very serious suggestions on how you can give yourself a little self-love on this day. It's also on my website, www.zoenightingale.com. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram, on Twitter. So never fear, winter is almost over and the sun keeps getting brighter and keeps getting warmer. Life is good. It's really all about your perspective. You make your own luck. So work really hard to get lucky. Don't forget to take care of those around you. Don't forget to take care of yourself. I send you all the love in the world on this sunny and brutally cold February day here in New York City.
You can do what you want. The opportunity's on. And if you find a new way, you can do it today. You can make it all true, and you can make it undo. You see, ah, it's easy. Ah, you only need to know. Well, if you want to sing out, sing out. And if you want to be free, cause there's a million things to be.